Shalom Aleichem from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. We're feeling everyone's pain wherever they are. It's very painful. I'm in the best place to be, Yerushalayim. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba. May Reishis Hashana Ad Achris Hashana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over Eretz Yisrael. And by learning together, learning from Yerushalayim all the way to New York or wherever anyone might be, Canada, Belgium, wherever you may be, you're learning together with the Yid in Yerushalayim, you're connecting to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba. This is one of the beautiful benefits of technology, that we could have Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. We could be able to hear a shir from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh and get chizuk coming into the Yontif of Pesach. The room I'm in right now is my study. It's a room I've been spending a lot of time in. I actually reorganized it because I'm spending a lot of time here. And the general theme for everyone is what we call bidud in Hebrew, which is being alone, being separate, right? A person is in confinement. And of course, that's very difficult. We don't have shul, we don't have yeshivas, and we don't have people to say shalom aleichem to and shake a person's hand, give a yid a hug. It's very difficult. But Bari Olam gives us things in life that we can grow from. And we don't have the gaiva to say we know what Bari Olam wants from us. We don't know. But we know one thing. Hashem wants us to think. Hashem wants us to grow. Hashem wants us to ask ourselves, where in our life is Hashem sending us a message? And Hashem put us in bidud. Hashem made us be alone. And when you're alone, you have to think. You have to think about where you are in life. You have to reevaluate. There has to be a huddle. There has to be a new strategy. There has to be a starting from scratch, a form of tshuva. You know, the Breslovers are very into hisboididus. Hisboididus means they go out into the forest and they're alone. And that's not my Kabbalah from my Rebbeim, that that's what we do. I never heard that from my Rebbeim. But today, Bari Olam put us all in hisboididus. He put us all in hisboididus. And whether or not we have a family around or we're all alone, all of us have the opportunity to be alone, to be ourselves, and to try to ask ourselves, what is happening? Again, do we know what's happening? No, but Bari Olam wants us to grow. In every situation in life, there's one thing that Hashem expects from us, growth. And there's something that's been on my mind I'd like to share with you and try to then bring it in a little bit to the Seder. The Seder is this man of appreciation of the elders of Klal Yisrael. The Seder Zisman, where usually at the head of the table is the patriarch of the family, somebody who is the highest level, the oldest generation. And this year, those types of people, some of them are Holocaust survivors, some of them are younger, they're in their 70s, some of them are in their 90s. But a lot of them are alone this year. Some of them are even just alone with their particular aid, with their Gentile aid, alone doing the entire Seder. And for sure we feel their pain, but I think that there's a very strong message for us, because I think that we lost more than they do. We lost more. You know, when you look at all the things that are happening and all the tzaddikim and tzidkanius that we're losing, there's so many Holocaust survivors on those lists. And these are people in their 90s, some of them even in their mid-90s. But Bari Olam took them in a way that we were robbed of them. It's like mi lo bikitso. It seems like it's not their time. They could have had another few days, another few months, another few years to protect Klal Yisrael. And somehow we were not zocha to that. And the message is not to the old man who's sitting alone at his Seder table. The message is to us, why aren't we zocha to have those greats with us. Sha'al avicha v'yagencha zikeinecha v'yomrulach. Your elders will teach you. And somehow this year it seems like Hashem is grabbing the elders in a way that doesn't seem like a 95-year-old man is leaving at his time. It seems like he should have left at 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 120. What's the message over here for us? What's the message? And again, it's about growing. It's not having the gaiva of saying, we know what the issue is over here, but it's about growing. It's about understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be communicating to us. And I'll tell you my personal thoughts on this matter. And that is the following. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Saita, that at the end of days, it's going to be a time when the young people are not going to give kavod to the Zekanim. Right? Like the Navi Yeshaya says, Yerubu Anaris Azakim. They're going to, who needs that old man? We know more. We're better. We can do things with more technology and more understanding. That's one of the simanim of Ikvasa de Mashicha. That's the Koach HaTumah of this Zman. And we find an amazing thing. We find a story. There's a story that I verify. Usually, I don't tell stories even if they're famous. I only tell stories that are verified. And this story was verified to me by a member of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's family, Rav Yehuda Kamenetsky. That Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was on a plane and his grandchildren kept checking in with him. Zadie, do you need this? Do you need that? And there was a fellow who was sitting next to him in business. And this fellow was a very high up there person in the Histadrut, in the secular party of Israel. And he was amazed and he said, let me understand, Rabbi. I have grandchildren. They're not checking on me. They're not looking to see if I need anything on a plane. Why is it that they're taking care of you? And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was Chakima de Yehudai, he was the wisest man, he was dubbed the wisest man of his time. Chakima de Yehudai. Rav Yaakov said, I'll explain to you, it's very simple. You are a prestigious person, correct. However, you believe that man came from monkeys. So therefore, your grandchildren look at you as closer to an ape. We believe in Maimid Har Sinai. And when my grandchildren see me, they see me as closer to the experience of getting the Dvar Hashem at Har Sinai. They see me as a link in the chain. They see me as something to look up to. And this is a very powerful message to us. And I think we don't really understand what it means to really appreciate elders. You know, a lot of people feel that they're machabed Holocaust survivors. How? They know that the Satmar Rebbe said that whoever sees a Holocaust survivor should get a bracha from that man. He's a great man or a great woman. To me, that people who run after Holocaust survivors to get a bracha, it's nice, and I'm sure it makes them feel great. In fact, I've spoken to some of them, and it does. But that's not giving them cover. That's perhaps even treating them like a vending machine. Do you know why the Satmar Rebbe said that you should get a bracha from such a person? It's because that person understands everything. That person has been through everything. That person has rock solid emuna. They say Shema Yisrael, despite the Gehenom that they saw. And what does it mean to be machabed, somebody who went through the Holocaust? It means to sit them down and say, can I ask you advice? Can you tell me something about life? All of a sudden, whoa, why do I need to ask him? I could ask anybody. I'll ask somebody who can relate to me. Somebody who's on my wavelength. That's called a lack of kavod. That's called a lack of respect. We have to believe that we've lost and we're losing jewels and they're getting snatched away because we're not appreciating Zikenim. We're not appreciating Zikenim. It's even true about our Gedolim. You know, I was once in the car, the Rav Chaim Mobile. I was in the famous car, you know, with the tinted windows. And people were plastering their faces all over the car, smushing their faces to try to see Rav Chaim. And it was a very unsettling feeling. I felt like I was in the car with a rock star. Lahavdil elf alfte haftalis. Bein kedusha l'tuma. Sounds like everyone's really being mechabed the gedolim. They're smashing their faces on the car. But I spoke to one of my rabbeim about the father of Rav Chaim, who Rav Chaim will tell you was bigger than him. The stipler. The stipler, one of my rabbeim told me he had a kvias that he would watch. The stipler would go towards the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Nobody was around him. Everybody was afraid to go near the stipler. And one of my rabbeim built up the courage to have a kvias that when the stipler would go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, he would come and he had prepared questions for the stipler. Prepared questions. He came bira'ada, b'pachad b'chadim, to try to get something from the stipler. Now let me ask you a question. Who really has more covered for gedolim, for ziknei ador? People who plaster themselves on cars and try to bust through doors of Gabayim to get a selfie with a gadol b'Yisrael, or someone who's afraid to approach them, who realizes their greatness, who realizes that there's an opportunity over here. Let me come with a question that I thought about for long periods of time, that I feel is appropriate for a gadol b'Yisrael to give that question to them. That's covered. That's covered. And that's called capitalizing on the opportunity of our Zikenim. That's called appreciating our Zikenim. It's sitting down and saying, Zikenecha v'yomrulach, please be at my Seder. And we're not just going to humor you and treat you like you're a baby because you're old. We're going to let you run the Seder. We're going to hear your insights in life, what you've been through, not just the Holocaust survivors, anyone. Chazal say, Zikna is Zeh Kana. People who've acquired the wisdom of life, Rashi says. Zikna is acquiring the wisdom of life. Are we appreciating these gems? Or are we not zochet to have such people around? That's the disgrace. The disgrace is not making fun of them. Or, of course, if they're standing on a bus, you'll give them your seat. But why? Do we really feel that there's an opportunity with our Zikenim? I remember at my son's bar mitzvah, we have Grandma Eva. She should live and be well. She's in her mid-90s. This year's Seder, she'll be alone. Probably for the first time, as long as we can remember. And she came to the bar mitzvah of my son, B'Mesiras Nefesh in Eretz Yisrael, who's named after her late husband, and she spoke. She didn't prepare. She got up there and she spoke and she took over the entire bar mitzvah. What did she say? She said, I want to give the following message to the bar mitzvah boy and to everyone in the crowd. When we were in Hungary, there were many shuls. There was the ultra-Orthodox, super Haredi shul. There was the little bit less one, there was the modern one, and then there was the even more modern. She said, we were a very separated community. She said, but you know what? The Nazis called us into one shul together. The entire community, when they gathered us in, we were all together. And she said, I remember being there. The Nazis had taken Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom. They had put us all into this one shul. She said, I remember feeling good about it. I remember feeling how great it is that we're all in the same shul, that we're all together, that there's no barriers. And everybody heard this message. We were dumbfounded. This is Zikein Necha V'yomrulach. Where do we get such messages? And to even lose a day with such people. Kal v'chomer, a month, a year, 10 years, until 120. It's a longer yarin. We're not appreciating our zikeinim. We're not getting etzes from our zikeinim. And I'm going to tell you something that's very controversial. Very controversial. And it's somewhat against me. I'm shooting myself in the foot a little bit, but I don't mind. You know, there's a fad in many, many yeshivas all around that the rabbeim are very young. They're young rabbeim. You don't find so often in a lot of yeshivas rabbeim with gray beards who are most certainly in their 70s or 80s. We're finding younger and younger Magidei Shir. And there's a very good reason for that. A very good reason. That the younger generation needs someone to relate to. And it's a true and valid reason. And perhaps it's a reason that we have to respond to as a generation. But I want you to know something. It's tremendous chutzpah. A tremendous lack of regard of where real sources of wisdom are. We should be running after people who we think we can't relate to them. Do you know why we can't relate to them? Because we're out to lunch. If we would try to connect to the earlier generations, we would become as big as them, or at least to be shy up to the chain. There's Yeridas Adaras, but at least we would know what they're about. Instead, we get cheap imitations. I'm a cheap imitation of my Rabbi. And I applaud anyone to find Gedolei Yisrael, the older the better, and realize they do relate to you. You just have to prepare before. You have to try to find something that bothers you, that you want to understand more about what Hashem said at Har Sinai. Not what some young person who's close to your age, who also snowboards, says, but someone who's zikeinecha v'yomrulach. Anyone who gets anything from me as a Rebbe, the value of what I have is from Zikanim. It's because at a young age, I was fascinated by Zikanim, trying to chaperine and get in touch with as many Zikanim as I could. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. And we have to realize Zikeinecha v'yomrulach. We're here in confinement. We're here to think. I'm here in my study, in my house, alone to think. And we have to understand that part of the Pesach Seder is that idea of the family unit of children, parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Zikeinecha v'yomrulach. Real regard. And not just that the great-grandparents are at the table, but that they're at the head of the table, that they're leading the Seder. This is something that we have to think about. And I want to talk about another nekuda, another point. And this is a very, very important point. We're here alone. And when you're alone, you think about your identity. Who am I? Right? Very basic question. Who am I? Identity issues. And all of us should be going through some sort of identity crisis. And I would like to talk about the fact that Pesach is the yontif of identity. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out goy mikerev goy. There was a nation inside of a nation. Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim. And in order to be taken out of a place, you can't identify with that place. And the question is, how did Klal Yisrael get out? We're told that they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They were people who served idols. Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You couldn't tell the difference. So how did Hashem take them out? What was it that allowed them to be Zocha? So the Medrash tells us something incredible. The Medrash says that Klal Yisrael were Mitzu Yonim Sham. They were distinct in Mitzrayim. you could pick them out. The Jews were distinct. And because they were distinct and somewhat separate in certain ways, which we'll discuss, they were zochet to the geula. Says the Medrash, what did they do? How did they keep themselves separate? Number one, they kept their Yiddish name, their Jewish names. They didn't get Mitzri names, Egyptian names. They kept their names from Mitzrayim, from Klal Yisrael. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they were all named with Jewish names. And L'shenam, they kept Klal Yisrael's language. They spoke Lashon HaKodesh to each other. They kept our language. And many people claim Levusham, they didn't change their clothes. It is quoted in many Achronim. It's hard to find a Medrash that says that. But the Medrash does say that they didn't snitch on each other. They didn't ever be Moiser or tell the government one on the other. They were loyal. They didn't speak Lashon Hara or Dalei Turin. They were dedicated to each other. They stuck together as a group. And the fourth thing that they did was they didn't intermingle. They didn't have Arias, but Bifrat, as the Mefarshim explained, they didn't intermingle in Mitzrayim. They didn't have Arias with Mitzrayim. They were just stuck with their families, building Jewish homes. And Chazal say that this is why they were zocha to have a geula. They didn't change their names. They didn't change their language. They didn't snitch on each other. They were loyal to each other. And they didn't have Arias. And the Maral explains something incredible. These are all issues of identity. A name is who you are. It's your neshama. What you identify with is what people call you. Lashon, the language you use, is your nationality, right? We know if you're in Montreal, they like to speak French, Quebec. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's Canada. They can speak English. No, it's about who I am. It's identity. Language is identity. And you don't snitch on a Yid to know whose team you're on, to not lose sight of who you're part of. And the Arias is we stick with Klal Yisrael. We stay in our homes and we build our families. We're not looking outside. Klal Yisrael, says the Maral, didn't have that many schusim because they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They needed one thing, to be a Yid. To be a Yid is so great. So when Hashem came to get them, he was able to find the Jews because they talked like Jews. They had Yiddish names. They were dedicated to each other and their families were intact. They were together. And he says that if we wouldn't have had that identity, then there couldn't have been a Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Hashem would have just found us in a big challenge and there would have been no Jews. You couldn't have found them. Who are these people? No clue. They don't have Jewish names. They don't speak like Jews. Who are they? You can't find them. And this is called Mitzuyanim. The word Mitzuyanim means to be distinct and defined. And I'm going to tell you something incredible. This is the root of the word Tzion, Zion, right? There's a lot of talk about Zionism, different types of Zionism, religious Zionism, secular Zionism. I want to tell you what the word Tzion means. Zion does not mean Eretz Yisrael, even though it's tied to Eretz Yisrael. Tzion means to be, have a clear Jewish identity. Mitzuyan, distinguished, definable. Tzion. And that's what it means. Klal Yisrael were Mitzuyanim. They had identity. If someone's a real Tzioni, in the true Jewish sense, he's someone who really identifies in his fiber with being a Yid, in everything that's about him. And it's interesting, today you see in Zionism today, and this is also something that we're going through simultaneously with this terrible magefa. The government has no definition right now. It's a circus. This has never happened in political history. It's an absolute circus. No one knows whose values are what and who's on whose team and who you're even voting for. And the person that you're voting for, you think he's against this and then he's for this. Why is this happening now? at the same time as this Maigefa, because it's showing we're having an identity crisis. Look at us. It's a circus. Who are we? What do we stand for? What are we about? What's our identity? That's what Tzion is. And I would like to tell you who the first Tzioni was. That's Yosef. Chazal, the Arizal, tells us Yosef is Gematria Tzion. Yosef, Hatzarek, is somebody who had definition. Yosef had a very hard life. And he was taken out of his national homeland, Eretz Yisrael, taken away from his family. If anyone should have lost their identity as a Yid, it was Yosef. But Yosef is Gematria Tzion because he didn't. He kept his Jewish name, an incredible deed from the Pardes Yosef. The Pardes Yosef says that Paro named Yosef Tzafnas Paneach. Why did he give him a new name? Says the Pardes Yosef, something that I could never say myself. He says Paro wanted to get rid of Yosef's Jewish name to break the Yiddishkeit from Yosef. And the very same pasuk says the word Yosef right after Tzafnas Paneach. Says the Pardes Yosef, Yosef didn't fall for it. You can call me Tzafnas Paneach, but my name is Yosef. That's who I am. That's who I'm going to be known as. Yosef kept his name. He kept his language. And we know he was loyal with Arias. And he says he also never snitched on his brothers. He could have told Yaakov all those terrible things about being sold away. He didn't snitch. Yosef was the first Tzioni. He was the first one with this identity, and he created in our DNA the ability to have a Jewish identity, to be real Tzion. And we need to think about our identity. We're alone, and we're having an identity crisis, and we have to really ask ourselves about our identity. Because this virus didn't stop by the Goyim. It went right into the Yiddish Ummah, into Klal Yisrael. This virus doesn't stop by Yidden. And don't think that it couldn't happen, that the virus couldn't stop by us. Do you know there was a black plague in medieval times? Terrible plague. The black plague. And do you know it really affected the Yidden minimally, so much so that the Goyim were claiming that it was us that caused it. And there are all sorts of reasons why we wouldn't, practical reasons why we wouldn't have gotten this. We eat only animals that were shechted properly. We don't just take carcasses off the street, and we're always washing our hands, and we're into ritual purity. But at the end of the day, the plague stopped by the Goyim because we were Yidden. We were Jewish. And when you're Jewish, so it stops. But when we look the same, when we talk the same, when we act the same, it becomes very confusing. And we said a few weeks ago that there's a term, a new term in the world. There's a new term in the world. And that's called going viral. Going viral. And it's something that wasn't a term when I was in high school or even in yeshiva. It wasn't something we knew about because things couldn't go viral back then. There was a limited amount of communication. But today, things go viral on the internet, right? Things go viral anywhere and everywhere. Mesofa olamad sofo, even the most ridiculous things can go from one side of the earth to the next. They can go viral. And we had no problem with all of this. We loved it. We could see from one side of the world to the other, great. All the stupidity, we love it. All of a sudden, Hashem says, I'm going to show you how this looks. You weren't bothered by this in your ruchnias, that you could look at all your schmutz and see all the schmutz from every part of the world, and it's destroying our neshamas. I'm going to show you some weirdo is going to eat a bat in China, and I'm going to make it go viral. And I'm going to show you what we've been doing to our neshamas. We've been taking out our Yiddishkeit. We've been taking out our identity. Anything and everything. And I'm not just talking about looking at Dvarim Asurim. We go on to these sites, news sites, right? and it says, watch, horrific anti-Semitism. See, Jew being beaten up. Ask you a question. Who says that we're supposed to be watching someone being beaten up? Who says that that's right? Who says that's something that our eyes should see? It's one thing if someone was in Nazi Germany and they were forced to be in front of the Nazis and they're plagued with this their whole life. Here, watch this, watch that, see that. See the first person to be named Nachman Meuman in Uman, live. See a fool torture his child by giving him a stupid name. This is what it's come to? Where's the direction? Who's telling us who should be on the covers of our magazines? Who's telling us what to do and how to think? Where's our definition coming from? Everything's going viral. And the Yid was always able, like Yosef HaTzadik, to keep himself away, keep himself defined, remember his name, remember his Rabbeim, remember his language, remember his community, and make real decisions. Something incredible happened. It's a little bit embarrassing. But I'll tell it to you because this is a time that we should be open. It's very hard to manage the home. You know, there's a lot of, Baruch Hashem, the kids are running around. Even to give a shiur now, I'm shocked that there's nobody throwing a ball over me as I'm giving this shiur right now. Baruch Hashem, the kids are, some of them are going to sleep. But it's hard to manage a little bit. And there are a few concessions. And one of the concessions, one of my kids heard that there was a movie. And again, I don't know what kind of movie it is. He says it's a Haredi movie. And he's saying we should watch it. I'm not going to watch it, obviously. But the kids wanted to watch it. And they're bored stiff at home. And they were really, really, really pushing. And it happened to be that the movie was written and produced by a friend and a great man, Nachman Zeltzer. So I figured, you know, at least I know the producer. And I asked around that it would be okay. And fine. So listen, this is a time where that could give me 4 nights. They were going to watch a half hour each night for 4 nights. Fine. My kids rented it. That was the first time we tried to figure out how to rent something, mostly music. And it didn't work. Our filter wouldn't let us do anything. And they were very upset. And my son really was upset. You know, this was something exciting and new. He's been learning beautifully with me here in this little base medrash, but they need a little bit of a break. And I told them that they could rent it again, even though it was going to cost another $10 to try it. But my daughters didn't want to waste the money, but my son's like, no, let's waste the money. It's okay. And then I said, wait a second, the movie costs $24. I should just buy the movie and maybe that'll even help with the filter. I don't know. I'll buy the movie. Why should I rent a movie for $10 and it doesn't work, then rent it again for $10, spending $20 for just a rental of 3 days? I should just buy it for $24. All of a sudden, my son says, I'm not interested in watching this movie. We're all looking at each other. What is going on? He's the man with the raise, you know, with the flag of watching this movie. He says, Abba, listen. We're really bored, and I'm willing to rent a movie. But if we buy a movie, we're going to become a movie family. We're not a movie family. I mean, I'm willing. It's Corona. We're stuck at home. I'll, for once, watch a movie. But I don't want to become a movie family, and I'm not interested in this. Forget this whole thing. Buying a movie, owning a movie, and I was blown away. I was thinking, that's called having a Jewish identity. That's called having a definition. That's called understanding that there's something called who we are and not what we do. Not just what we do, but who we are. And everybody's been talking about crowns. And I don't have a Masara for my Rebbeim, you know, with these things, but it's clear that Corona is about a crown. I'd like to tell you a Medrash. The Medrash talks about crowns. The Medrash says, what is the Atara she'itra lo imo what was the crown that Shlomo HaMelech's mother gave him? It was the crown of Klal Yisrael, who didn't change their names, who didn't change their language, who didn't snitch on each other, and who didn't have arayas. Says the Medrash in Shir HaShirim that the crown of Klal Yisrael is having an identity. And there's another Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Rabbi. Listen to this. Sena ure'ena benos tzion. Klal Yisrael is called Tzion again. The real Zionists. People of distinction, of definition. What is it that makes us distinct? Says the Medrash, Parsha Gimel, Piska Chaf Dalet. Bonim mitzionim li b'tiglachas, in haircuts. It says in the Medrash that Hashem, in Shir HaShirim, which is the love story of connection to Klal Yisrael, praises us in our haircuts. Tiglachas. Bimila, brismila, ubitzitzis. And then we wear tzitzis. I'm thinking to myself, haircuts? And the answer is yes, haircuts. A lot of times, we know people, they learn a lot of Torah. And then we look at their haircuts. And we see in front of us someone who lacks definition. Who is this guy? A person learns Torah, but a person is their haircut. It's a definitional point. Who are we identifying with? Who do we relate to? Who do we see ourselves as? Tiglachas, our haircuts. And these are things to think about. Why do I want a haircut like that? And I'm not going to go through the different types of haircuts. But we can cry. Someone once told me, he says he doesn't know how I sleep at night when I see certain types of haircuts. I didn't have what to respond to him. But I understand where he's coming from. Tiglachas. Benois tzion. Tzeno re'ena benois tzion. Hashem loves our haircuts. When we look like a Jew. When we look like a Yid. That's the crown of Klal Yisrael. And we have to really try to figure out who we are. And we have to figure out who we are on our news sites. When it says, Kol ha-mistakel be'etzba ktana shel isha, someone who looks at the pinky of a woman in a way that's inappropriate, it's like he looked at a very inappropriate place. And then we get onto our news sites, and they have pictures of women who are sometimes not even dressed nias. And even if they were dressed nias, what, they expect us to read the news like this? Like that? How exactly are we supposed to see what we're reading? What are they doing to us? Where is our identity? And I was trying to find the Daf Yomi share. I'm looking through on one of the sites with the Daf Yomi. Not for me, for somebody in my family who's doing Daf Yomi. And he wanted a shorter share. And I put on this share to just see what it is. See if it's good for my son. And the fellow is giving a shir. I don't know who he is. I have no idea what his name is. But he starts a shir. He's talking about feeding animals on Shabbos. And all of a sudden, there's a multimedia presentation on the side with a dog sitting at a table, dressed nicely, eating dinner. I was trying to think to myself, if I would have this one infraction in my life of publicly making a shear for people that I want people to see it, the more hits the better, and I'm mevaze chazal and make a stupid joke that belongs in the worst parts of Hollywood with the Gemara in Shabbos, and then no, it's called relating to the people, it's called connecting, it's called getting them. They wouldn't learn Daf Yomi otherwise. What's happening to us? Where's our definition? We need to be talking to the earlier generations. We need to grab the 70-year-olds and up to find out what a Jew is, to understand who we are. We're forgetting quickly. And if you learn from me, I'm too affected. I'm too young. We need to chat the zikeinecha v'yomrulach. And this year our seders don't have zikeinim, and Hashem is taking zikeinim before their time. And we have to accept on ourselves that we will reevaluate our connection with the Messiah, our connection with Har Sinai, our connection with Torah, with Dvar Hashem, our connection with davening, our connection with learning, our connection with Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. And we have to find in every area where the Goyim are trying to take away the Yid. In the music world, we have to look at these ridiculous movie videos of Jewish songs. Why did Hashem create music? Hashem created music so that Yidden could get close to him. Not so you could watch fools dance. Some of them are not even Jewish on there. Or some ridiculous skit that means absolutely nothing. That's not why Hashem created music. If you ask from the earlier generations, they'll tell you. They created music for chazanos, for a good niggun in shul, for a Shabbos zemer. What's happening to us? Where are we? We're fools. We're in Hollywood. This is not why Hashem created music. So a bunch of Gentile dancers should get up there and do the hokey pokey. We need to understand what exactly Bar Yom wants from us. We need to be slowed down. And chasanas. Chasanas are not meant to be places where we show off. Chasanas are meant to be places where there's a chasan, a kala, the shechina. And Bar Yom also decided that we can't figure this out on our own. And instead of us being busy with, we're going to have Oad, Shweki, Avram Fried, we're going to have Eighth Day there to mix it up, all of these, and Simcha Liner to top. What about thinking that you're building a bias Nevi Yisrael? What about thinking about that your neighbor might be jealous of the, of this concert that you're making, that he can't afford it? And the Rabbanim have been saying that there's a message over here to change chasnas. And I was thinking to myself that this is v'halachta bidracha. Hashem changed the chasana. Where did Hashem change the chasana? Says Rashi al Torah that it's the derech of basar v'dam to show their wealth at the chasana. But Hashem, when he at Har Sinai, he didn't show all of his wealth. There were malachim there, but he didn't show everything. Today, people are showing much more than everything. You know, if someone takes a loan for a chasana, they're not showing their wealth. They're showing how wealthy the bank is. I heard this from Rav Dan Segel. Rav Dan Segel said what destroyed Klal Yisrael was the ability to be in debt so that you can live outside your standard. You know how many people have fancy chasnas who can't afford it bichlal? Bari Olam has all the usher in the world and he toned down Har Sinai. He toned it down. If we do this, we're thinking about others. We're thinking about how somebody else would feel if they had to keep up with the Joneses on such a thing. Bari Olam feels that we're not getting the lesson, and he put us in our homes to think. And all of us, not me, but all of you who are listening, I have no doubt. I know you all well. You're all tzaddikim. You're all tziyin mamish. All of you are great. All of you are the future of Klal Yisrael. All of you are the ones who are bringing Mashiach Tzidkenu. But Bari Olam wants us to restart. Bari Olam wants us to regroup. Bari Olam wants to rethink our values. Bari Olam wants us to slow down and start becoming Tzion. Tzana Ure'ena B'nos Tzion. Yosef was a Tzion. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were Mitzion. And we will be Mitzuyanim, and just like Klal Yisrael was Zocha, Goy Mikerev Goy, to be taken out of Mitzrayim because of their Jewish identity. We will be taken out, Be'ezrat Hashem, Bekarov Mamish, from this so painful and so difficult period in Jewish history because of our Jewish identity. We should all be Zocha to see Mashiach Tzidkenu. Bikarov Mamesh. You're all invited to my Chabura for the Karban Pesach. I love you all. And for now, Kol Tuv Selah.